This is the Gemara and Gittin on Daf. And the Gemara starts off with a memra of Rabbi Yochanan the Amora. Now, remember, Rabbi Yochanan himself did not see the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Yochanan was born after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, but he's reflecting on it, and he starts off with a pasuk, "My dechsiv." What is the meaning of a pasuk? There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "A nun hey amid base." And I just, Let me just see if I can get it. Get the two dots here. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, my dechsiv." What is the meaning of a pasuk in Mishlei? The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Ashrei Adam fachei tamid." Happy is the person who is always afraid. And this doesn't mean it's good to be afraid, but mafachid means somebody who is what we call roa es hanola. That means he sees the future consequences of his deeds, because we're going to see that when a person doesn't see the future consequences of his deeds, very bad things can happen, and we're going to illustrate that. Umaksha libo, and he who is stubborn and unyielding, meaning he doesn't respond to the entreaties of others, yipol bara, shall fall in a bad place. What are the illustrations of this verse? Rav Yochanan says there are three illustrations. Akamtza ubar kamtza charev Yerushalayim. The city of Yerushalayim was destroyed because of the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. You'll see what that is. These are two people. Second, Atarnagela v'Atarnagelta Charev Tor Malka. Now, Tor Malka was a big district in the middle of Eretz Israel. And after the Chorban, many, many Jews still lived there. But the Romans destroyed it because of a story involving a rooster and a hen. Now, each of these are long stories. We're not going to get to the rooster and the hen for like three vats. And the last Chorban was Beitar. Beitar was the last place where the Jews were with Bar Kokhba. And Beitar was destroyed about 70 years after the Chorban. And that was the Bar Kokhba massacre. Ashoka Derispak, because of the axle of a wheel. Right? The axle is the pole that holds the wheel together. Chorav Beitar. And each of these three stories illustrates the idea of not being stubborn and seeing the future consequences of your behavior. So we're going to take each one in order. Akamtza ubar kamtza charev Yerushalayim. Hahu gavra, there was a man, derachame kamtza. His best friend was a man called Kamtza. Ubal devavei bar kamtza. But his enemy had a very similar name, bar kamtza. He loved kamtza, he hated bar kamtza.
They were related.
It doesn't say they were related. In other words, it's not that Bar Kamtza was not the son of Kamtza, just, you know, like Kamtza's son, you know, like you say Jefferson or whatever. Avad Sudasa, this unknown man, we don't know who he is, but made a very big party. Omer Le Lashame, he said to his servant, Zeal Isili Kamtza, go and invite my good buddy Kamtza. So the servant got mixed up, and he went to Bar Kamtza instead. He invited the guy's enemy. So, but what did the enemy think? I don't know. Maybe he thought they wanted to make up. Azal Isile Bar Kamtza. So now the man that's making the party sees his enemy in the party.
Maybe he forgave him. Maybe he wasn't his enemy.
Well, it could be. It could be. Maybe he thought he was being forgiven. Maybe he wasn't aware of the enmity. So Asa Ashkechei Tahave Yosef. So the master of the house now discovers Bar Kamtza is sitting at his party. Amar Le, he said to him, Michte Yahu Gavra Bal Debabe Yahu Gavra, since this man is my enemy, Ma Boasach, what are you doing here? Kum Pike, get out. So Amar Le, so Bar Kamtza literally begs him, Hayil V'Asai, once I'm here, Shavkin, let me stay. For me to leave the party in front of everybody is a great humiliation. I will give you the money. I will pay you for all the food that I eat or drink. Amar lei lo. The master of the house said, nope, get out. Amar lei, he then says, I'll pay for half of the whole party. Amar lei lo. No. Amar lei, in his final offer, I will pay for the whole party. Amar lei lo. Nokte biyade, he took him with his hand. Ukme, he raised him up. Viafke, and he kicked him out. He physically removed him. So Bar Kamsa is now very humiliated. So Amar, Bar Kamsa says, Chayil v'havu yasvi rabbanan v'lo michubay. This was a party in which there were many of the sages. The Chachamim were there. And nobody complained. Nobody stood up for me. Nobody stood up for my dignity. Shema mina. From here I could see. Konichalu, they didn't mind. It was okay that I was embarrassed. So because of this humiliation, he said to himself he was going to put a negative report about the Rabbanan. Now his Kavanah was not to destroy the temple. His Kavanah was maybe the Rabbanan would get in trouble, which is bad enough. Ezel, Echel Behu Kortza Beimalka, I will go and give gossip to the king or to the government. So what did he do? Azal Omer Leila Kesar. He went to the Caesar. Now Caesar here does not mean the emperor of Rome. The emperor, but Kesar means the Roman governor. And in fact, you know, the Roman capital of Israel, of Palestine, was not Yerushalayim. It was Caesarea.
Mm-hmm.
So he went up there to file a report. And he said, Mardech Bach Yudai, the Jews are rebelling against you. They're not loyal citizens. Amar lei mi yemar. So the governor said, who says? Amar lei, I'll tell you the test. Shadr lehu korbana. Send them a korban to bring. Because what is the halacha generally? We accept korbanos from non-Jews. So normally the Jews would sacrifice animals in honor of the Caesar or whatever it is. So he said to the governor.
What does it mean to accept?
Huh? We bring the korban. We bring the korban.
Uh-huh.
We bring the korban. If any guy sends a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, we will bring that sacrifice.
I see.
So, but he said, you can test how loyal they are. Send them a sacrifice, chazis, and see imikarvinle, if they will bring it. So Azal, the Caesar went, shadar biyade eglatil, so he sent a third-born calf. There is a concept that the third-born calf is the healthiest. Bahadi de Kaasi, as he was transporting the calf down to Yerushalayim, Shada Beimuma Beniv Sifasayim. He put a blemish, he put a slit in the lip, making the animal a mum, a balmum. So now, balmum you can't bring as a sacrifice, even from a Jew. So one opinion was he made the mum in the lip. The Amri La Bidukin Shebiayin, and some say he made a slit in the iris of the eye, the colored part of the eye. Now, what is significant about this? Duchte, this is a place, Diladidan Havemuma. For our purposes, for Jewish law, that is a blemish. Uladitu. Now again, see, non-Jews can bring korbanos in private altars as well. They can make a bama. Now, the halacha is in a bama, in a private altar, the only halacha of mum applies when it's actually missing a limb, like it's a severed leg, something like that. Then even a goy cannot bring it on a bama. Now, he didn't want to do it that to the animal, because then people would know, oh, if the animal doesn't have a leg, then even the goy would know it's not a good sacrifice. But he wanted to do it in such a way that the Goyim wouldn't realize it's no good. He did it in a way that it's a mum for our halacha, but it's not a mum for theirs. So he would then be able to report back, oh, you see, the Jews did not bring your animal as a korban, so that's a proof that they're disloyal. But the real reason they didn't bring it as a korban is because it was a mum, right? So this is how he was going to be able to tell his Lashon Hara against the Rabbanan. Now, what's interesting is, the Gemara says, Savar Rabbanan Likruve. even though the Rabbanan knew this animal was a Baal Mum, and you're not allowed to be makriv a Baal Mum, the Rabbanan wanted to be makriv it anyway, because they understood what this was about, and they understood that if they're not makriv, they and Klal Yisrael can get into a lot of trouble. So they thought it was a matter of pikuach nefesh, a matter of life and death. And for life and death, you're allowed to transgress the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to bring the animal as a matter of life and death because of Shalom Malchus, in order to have peace with the kingdom.
But it wasn't a transgression.
What?
Because, like you said, it was according to the halacha, because it's not a Jewish korban.
No, but that's only true when the non-Jew is bringing it in a private altar outside of the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, it would be a transgression.
So in the Mikdash,
they have that law, right? So it would be a transgression, but they thought it should be mutter because it's a matter of pikuach nefesh.
Mm.
So here we have a statement of the Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulas, and Amar Lehu Zachariah ben Avkulas. Can't do it. Yes, it's a question of pikuach nefesh, but we have to look at the long-term misunderstanding of the halacha that might come out of here, and that is Yairu, if people see that we're makriv this animal, and they'll record it as a precedent, they're not going to say it was because of pikuach nefesh, they're going to say you're allowed to bring a blemished animal as a korban. Yaimru, people will say in the future, Baalei Mumin Kraven Lagabe Mizbech. Blemished animals are permitted to be brought as a korban. Now here the Marshal has a long arichas, because Alibid the Emes, it is a Baal Mum. What is their heter to want to be makrivit? Because of Pikuach Nefesh. So Rav Zechariah then says, pikuach nefesh will not allow you to be makriv a Baal Mum, because people will say a Baal Mum could be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. But it almost makes no sense, because if the iser of actually being makriv a Baal Mum can be set aside because of pikuach nefesh, then what is he adding by saying, oh, people are going to make a mistake in the future? Let that also be set aside because of pikuach nefesh. So the Maharshal says a very big chiddush. The Marshal says that Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas is making the following argument. It is true that you are permitted to transgress virtually every mitzvah of the Torah in order to save a life. You violate Shabbos, you violate Kashrus, you violate Yom Kippur. We don't even call it a violation. There's only three averus, you're mechuyev to give up your life, avodah zarah, gilei ra'ish, yichus damim. But he says, there's one extra avera that you must give up your life before you transgress, and that is to do anything that will falsify the Torah in the eyes of others. He says quite simply, if a guy goes over to you and says, tell me, let's say a Nazi goes over to you and says, with a gun, and says, tell me what the Torah says about Amalek. And you don't want to say, oh, the Torah says wipe out Amalek, because then the German will say it's going on him. So you want to say, oh, the Torah says be nice to Amalek. Now you might think, what avera did I commit? I mean, I lied? I'm allowed to lie to save my life. The Marshal says, you must give up your life before you distort what the Torah says. So even though you're allowed to violate the Torah to save your life, but you're not allowed to do anything that distorts, that gives people the impression and that the Torah is something different than it is. This is called Ziyuf HaTorah. Ziyuf HaTorah is the forgery of the Torah.
There's also Gezeres Malchus before Hesed,
Yeah, that's true also. That's true also. But here, this would have been a private, this wouldn't have necessarily been a public thing. So
how would people find out if it's not public?
Well, this is the whole point. I mean, they would hear about it. And
so it become public.
Well, yeah, but they're not. I mean, this is not really. The Farhesia is when the Malchus is intending to take you away from the mitzvah. Now here, the Malchus didn't know the animal had a mum. So when the Malchus told you to bring the korban, they were not intending to break the halacha. They didn't know anything happened here. But Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas is basically saying that even if pikuach nefesh allows you to transgress the prohibition of bringing a carbon with a mum, pikuach nefesh does not allow you to create a circumstance where future generations will misunderstand what you're doing and they'll think it's permitted. That would be a falsification of the Torah. And therefore, and they listened to him because they basically said, you're right. If it would just be this particular sin, we would be permitted to transgress it. But if there's going to be a long-term misunderstanding of the Torah, for that we have to be willing to die. And therefore, they were not makrivit. Now, they then wanted to say something else. Okay, we know if we're not going to be makrivit, this guy, is this Roman guy, either this Roman guy or Bar Kamsa himself, is going to go back and report. So maybe we should kill him. Let's kill him because he's a rodef. He's endangering our lives. Savar lemikdalei. They wanted to kill him. Dolo lezel.
Kill the Bar Kamsa or kill the...
It's not clear. It would either be Bar Kamsa. Well, not the king. No, the king is not, wasn't there. They wanted to kill Bar Kamsa so he shouldn't report back.
Uh-huh.
But because he was going to report back, mm-hmm, that they didn't bring the
right,
sacrifice.
Right.
So Rav Zecharia said the same argument. Well, wait a second here. If we kill Bar Kamsa, future generations might not know that we killed him because he would go back and inform to the king. People think we killed him because he committed the sin of putting a blemish in an animal, and they're going to think if you put a blemish in a korban, you're chayav misa, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't kill him either.
But he didn't do it.
Yeah, he did do it.
Bar Kamsa made the blemish.
That's what it means.
Okay.
Bar Kamsa made the blemish so he could entrap,
mm-hmm,
the people. So because of this, the Chachamim were not makriv of the animal with the blemish. And in addition, they didn't kill Bar Kamsa.
And they couldn't tell the emperor that he put the blemish and therefore we can't use it?
Yeah, that would have been...
Because then he would kill him?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Why couldn't they do that? Maybe they thought he would kill Bar Kamsa. Maybe the emperor
would
believe them. So on this, Rav Yochanan said many years later, on Visanuso shel Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. Now, on Visanuso literally means the modesty, but here, the modesty of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. Now, everyone, all the unfortunate have a problem. L'chaira, this is not modesty. In other words, he made a point. You cannot sacrifice the animal because people will think Bali Mumin are craven al gabi misbeach. And then he makes a point. You can't kill Bar Kamsa because people will think if you put blemishes in an animal, you're chayav misa. These were his two arguments. Now, in what way would we describe those arguments as being modest or humble? Right? It's not really a question of modesty and humility. So because of this, Rashi offers a different interpretation. Rashi says that modesty here does not mean modesty, but it means patience and forbearance, meaning it's a borrowed term, because normally when a person is modest, he's very patient. He doesn't aggressively attack somebody. So here, he also did not aggressively attack, meaning Bar Kamsa should have been killed. But Rav Zecharia was patient in not punishing Bar Kamsa. Now, not because of humility. The reason he was patient is that people shouldn't think Matil Mum B'Kachim Get Misa. But as a borrowed term, we call that the humility of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, which seems to be a good thing. But because he let Bar Kamsa go, Hechriva es beisenim. It destroyed our temple, as you're going to see. The sarfa es echaleinu. Again, it burnt the holy area. The higlisanu meartzenu. And we were exiled from our land. Meaning this anava had a very, very serious cost. Now, it's interesting. Rav Yochanan is not telling us, was it correct or not correct? He's saying it just had a... what looked like an act of righteousness had very bad consequences. Now, it's interesting that the Medrash Eicha, you know, we have a Medrash on Lamentations, and Medrash Eicha quotes Rav Yochanan saying this about Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas in a very different part. In other words, apparently, Chazal were makabel Rav Yochanan's statement that it was the anava of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas that caused the Churban of the Beit HaMikdash. Our Gemara puts that in reference to his failure to have Bar Kamtza killed. Then we have a lot of problems. What's the anava? It's not modesty.
I don't understand. So basically, then we brought the offering.
No, we did not bring the offering.
Okay.
We did not bring the offering.
Okay.
And as a result, Bar Kamtza is going to go to the government,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be a chain of events that mm-hmm. results in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. But the problem is that Rav Yochanan, the Gemara, the Masadrin of the Gemara, take Rav Yochanan's statement and about the Anvasanuso Shel Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas, and they apply it to this story. And then we have a problem because anava is not the right word. So Rashi has to tell me, anava here does not mean humility.
Mm-hmm.
Anava means patience
mm-hmm.
and forbearance. But in the Medrash Eicha, it gives you a little bit of a different version. When we read before that the Chachamim were at the party and they didn't protest,
mm-hmm.
the Medrash says the Chacham who didn't protest was Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas. And he felt he didn't have a right to protest because he was only a guest. So now, on that, Rav Yochanan said, his modesty destroyed the temple. Now, their modesty works very well because he didn't protest,
mm-hmm.
because he thought he was not important enough to protest. You see,
not important
to,
out of all others, or not important as a guest?
Because he was a guest, he said he wasn't. It wasn't his role. He felt it would be arrogant for him to tell somebody in his
house. So he was expecting somebody else.
Maybe somebody else should do it. So according to that,
uh-huh.
the lashon of anava is very, very well fitting. So it's interesting that both the Medrash and the Gemara are in possession of the same statement of Rav Yochanan. See, Rav Yochanan didn't say what event he's referring to. Rav Yochanan just said the anava of Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But he didn't say what anava was that. There's a machlokas between the Medrash
mm-hmm.
and the Gemara. The Gemara views it in one way, in terms of not killing Bar Kamtza.
Mm-hmm.
The Medrash views it early in not standing up for the honor of Bar Kamtza. Now in the Medrash, the Lashon of Anava fits much, much better. In the Bavli, there's a lot of problems. Rashi has to redefine.
But according to Gemara, it's multiple sages who didn't say anything. It's not just him.
That's correct. The Gemara doesn't say it wasn't just him. That's
right.
That's correct.
So you can say partially maybe it's also because of him, but it's mainly because of everybody.
Yeah. That's right. The only thing he's blamed for here is not killing
right.
Bar Kamtza. That's what he's blamed for.
Okay. Not killing Bar Kamtza or not bringing, not letting it bring.
Well, it's interesting. He made two positions, one
right.
or the other. Either he's criticized for not bringing the offering or not killing Bar Kamtza if they didn't bring the offering.
If they kill Bar Kamtza, there is a chance that somebody else will report on them.
That's true. But then they should have brought the korban. I mean, one way or the other, they could have
mm-hmm.
done something that would have averted the danger. Okay, so now the report was filed, and as a result, the Romans decided to attack Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem was already under their rule; they didn't conquer. I mean, all of Israel was under their rule, but now they want to. They feel that if the Jews are not bringing a korban in honor of the emperor, it must be they're disloyal, they're rebelling. And the Romans took that very seriously, and they wanted to crush the rebellion. In point of fact, there were Jews that were rebelling.
What's the point to destroy the temple if you want to punish the Jews?
Well, it doesn't say. Well, basically, the temple was their rallying point. The temple was their. First of all, they used to keep their. The Jewish rebels would keep their soldiers in the temple. They would do that. But it's not just destroying the temple. Destroying the temple may have been an afterthought, but they wanted to destroy Jerusalem, destroy the rebellious groups in Jerusalem. So now it gives us a bunch of stages. The first thing was Shadar Iluvayu. The emperor, or the governor, sent against the Jews Neron Caesar. Neron, the Caesar. Now Neron seems to be Nero. Now, as you know, there actually was a Roman emperor, Nero. who was a bit of an infamous emperor in Rome. He was a crazy guy, and you know, the old legend goes that during his reign, which now at this point he was not emperor, he was just a general, you'll see, but during his reign, Rome had a massive fire, and Nero would play his fiddle, play his violin, as Rome burned. It's even a saying, you're playing your fiddle while Rome is burning, when somebody doesn't care about what's happening.
What does it mean Rome was burning? One of the cities was burning?
The city of Rome. The city of Rome had a big fire. But here it gives us something that historically is very hard to figure out, and it says, Nero was a general against Jerusalem. So he's not emperor. He's not emperor yet. He's a general against Jerusalem. So he wanted to see if God would give him victory over the city. So this is the test that he did. Shada gira lemizrach. He shot an arrow to the east, and the wind blew it towards Yerushalayim. Lemayrev, he shot an arrow to the west, and the wind, actually the wind is going in opposite directions. To the east, the wind blew it to Yerushalayim. To the west, the wind blew it to Yerushalayim. And then he shot the arba ruchos ha'olam, all four directions. Asa nafo b'Yerushalayim, as if to say, Hashem is telling him, you will be successful. Then he had a second test. Amar le liyanuka, he stopped a Jewish child, and he said to the Jewish child, psok li pesukech, tell me your pasuk. There's an old teaching Chazal had, that when a child tells you the pasuk that he learns, that's like a prophecy from Hashem, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Mordechai would ask children, right? So Neron asked the child. So Amar Le, the child quoted a pasuk from the Navi Yecheskel. It's an ominous pasuk. V'nasati esnikmasi v'edem. I will put my revenge against Edom. Edom is Esav. Now remember, Rome is descended from Esav. Hashem says, I will revenge Esav biyad ami Yisrael, through my nation Israel. So what's the message? So in effect, Neron is given two messages here. He is given a message that he will be successful in destroying Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. But he's also given a message that Hashem is going to revenge what he did to Bnei Israel, and there's going to be punishment. So Neron looked at those messages together, and he said, Kutsha b'richu boy l'chruve beise. Hashem wants to destroy his house. That's why the arrows go to Yerushalayim. But uboy l'chpure yadei, he wants to wipe his bloody hands on me, meaning to say, I'm going to destroy the temple and I'm going to get punished for it. I don't want any part of it, meaning I'm not going to destroy Jerusalem if it's going to come back and haunt me. And therefore it says, Arak, Neron ran away from the Roman army. Azov Igair, he became a hidden Jew. He became a ger. Unavik Mine Rebbe Meir. And the great Tana Rebbe Meir is descended from Neron. Now, there's a big problem here. I mean, if Neron refers to Nero, the Roman emperor, number one, there's no record that Nero became Jewish. And this Gemara indicates he was a general, not the emperor, right? Mm-hmm. So, right, and it seems he became a Jew before, you know, without ever becoming emperor. So because of this, we have to assume that this is not the Nero
that became,
who became emperor. This is another one. Although it is interesting that the Nero that became emperor, we have some interesting information about it. His wife, well, it's not clear what the halakhas were, but his wife was very friendly with Jews. She liked the Jewish religion. And there is some evidence she considered herself Jewish. Now, whether she had a halakhic conversion is very, very far from certain. But in the Roman emperor, the Romans considered Nero married to a Jewish woman. To a converted Jewish woman. So it's interesting that there may be some mixing here, but the way it describes Neron here, it seems for sure he was not the emperor, because he converted before he became an emperor. He didn't become an emperor. Okay. We'll have to stop here. Okay, so we'll stop here, and we'll continue this tomorrow. So round two is, so that's to be a new general. The new general is called Aspasianus. Now Aspasianus is Vespasian. And Vespasian was the general who started the siege against Jerusalem. And eventually he himself becomes an emperor. And he is replaced by his son Titus. And Titus, in fact, does destroy the temple. And Titus later becomes emperor as well. Okay, so the next part of the story is going to be the story of Aspasianus and Titus and their actual destruction. So Nero was the first guy to come out, but he didn't do anything. And then we'll see Aspasianus started the siege and Titus finished it. Okay, so we'll see how it goes.
As man as it, would it be possible for going to bring Corbonus on a bomb?
L'chaira, yes. L'chaira, yes. L'chaira, bombers are permitted for going, even today.
The no-chads don't do it.
Huh? But no, they don't. No, they don't. Except for the Samaritans who... I believe so. I believe that bombers are permitted even by man as it.
We spoke about last time during question and answer, we spoke about the miracles of like rockets, whatever, and they fire rockets at us and we are kind of in second situation.
Okay.
So how do we reconcile that like we are learning yeshiva and like staying here while we are kind of risking our lives?
Oh, as opposed to going to America?
Like, aren't we relying on miracle?
Well, I don't think it rises to a level of a miracle.
No.
I mean, it's a miracle if you're in the army. If you're living in Gaza, that's a miracle. But I mean, never.
No, but you know that you can go anywhere and
everything is dangerous. But I wouldn't call it a miracle. I mean, we have a military system. We have the Iron Dome in place. I mean, we have.
So we are not relying on them.
You're not relying on an open.
Well, area. Some people did like supply. Some people left. Like, and you say the Saudi Arabia said you kind of put.
That's what he said. But the argument is that statistically it is safer here than outside of it.
What about going outside Jerusalem? Are you putting yourself at risk?
I don't think it's forbidden to go outside of Jerusalem because it really is not, Baruch Hashem, it has not become that dangerous.
I mean,
it depends. If you want to go to Gaza, if you want to go to Hebron, I think you have to think about that. But if you want to go to
recently they say like there was a group of 10,000 like Arabs trying to like walk inside Jerusalem.
Well, you know,
and kill people.
Yeah, things happen. But, you know, there are riots in America too, but certainly that's been, Baruch Hashem, it hasn't been so bad here.
I see.
It hasn't been so bad. You know, we've been pretty quiet.
So meaning, if it would be so bad, it would be like a lack of milk and then you...
When it really becomes dangerous, that's a separate question, but I don't think Baruch Hashem has not become...
No, but we know, like, for example, like, they were planning, it was revealed that they were planning a massive attack on Rosh Hashanah. So meaning, it sounds like we're still, you know, we don't know what to expect.
Well, I mean, you know, the army finds us out, and they're destroying the tunnels. They're destroying all the things.
Right.
It's amazing. How many tunnels are there? Like 30 tunnels?
Something like that, yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, all they care about is
How could it be that people, that nobody saw, like, them, like,
I don't know. Well, I think Israel knew there, I don't know exactly what
Israel knew?
I think they knew there were tunnels. I don't know if they knew where they were.
So they knew that they're building tunnels inside Israel, they didn't know where?
Yeah, they didn't know where.
And they figure out those places like that where nobody will see where they enter Israel.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
I mean, you could have some in the middle of your house. You could be having a Shabbos meal.
Right.
30 terrorists come.
Wow.
It's awful. And how many? But just what a society it is. You know, Gaza. When did we leave it? We left it 5 years ago.
2005.
Huh? 2005. Yeah.
9 years.
9 years ago. You know, which was beautiful. It was beautiful. I mean, there were agriculture there.
Yeah, they destroyed everything when they came.
I mean, what type of culture is this? You just give them a beautiful place and they just turn it into murder and death. I mean, how many billions of dollars they could have used for their own people? They used it for the tunnels. I mean,
they used most of the money for tunnels?
Yeah.